Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Thanks for joining us today on New Life.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I love listening to you guys.
I'm kind of in a valley as far as my faith. She has a tumor on her lung, and she's in kidney failure. And my question is, how do I tell her that she's dying?
In the court systems, teenagers usually have a lot of ability to say where they want to spend their time.
Change is not what you say, change is what you do.
Do you ever disagree with him to his face?
Very rare.
Here's what I think cremation is. It is a dust acceleration program.
You're going to go forward, you're going to do the next right thing, you're going to sin no more, and he's going to have to sit with that.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on a special edition of New Life Live. We're talking about forgiveness today. We're focusing on forgiveness. And two people that have forgiven me enough to be here in the studio, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Steve.
I'm doing well. Dave, your book, Forgiving the Unforgivable, perhaps we start there.
Wonderful book.
Yeah. Share with us... Maybe just some concept of forgiveness that we don't often talk about or is overlooked, something that could help somebody that's really stuck today.
Well, we still struggle with some of the Jewish teaching on forgiveness. The rabbis taught that you only forgave when somebody repented and they came and asked for forgiveness. You didn't forgive at any other time. And the reason they did that was there's nothing really in the Old Testament about how we forgive each other. There's some anecdotal stuff with Joseph and his brothers, but nothing in terms of teaching. It's all about how we experience God's forgiveness. And so people were saying, well, how do I forgive each other? So they came up with the idea that we forgive three times and only when somebody repents, and there are some things that are unforgivable. They can't be forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how that still infects some of our Christian teaching, because Jesus went completely against that. When Peter said, should we forgive seven times? Remember, that was because he had been taught you only forgive three times. So he thought he was being very generous. And then Jesus says, no, not seven, but 490 times.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the old manuscripts adds the words a day. And I always thought, well, that guy must have been married who was copying that. But what Jesus taught, and then Paul and Peter both reaffirm it in the epistles, is that there's nothing that's beyond our ability to forgive. And the reason for that is because of how much we have been forgiven by mm-hmm. God himself. And so the context of our forgiving is always in the context of our being forgiven, of our forgiveness. And that's what we need to remember, I think.
Yeah, very good. Well, I know your book meant a lot to me, and I think if anybody is listening and forgiveness is the problem, there's an answer for you, is forgiving the unforgivable. I hope that you'll look at that either at our website or someplace else, newlife.com, because it really could free you up from a very, very tough bitterness and resentment and anger that you're going to pay the price for.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Linda from, I don't know where she's from, but she's here. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you from?
I'm from Arlington, Virginia.
All right. How could we help you today?
I have a question about forgiveness. This guy, me and him was dating, and he did something to me really, really, really bad. I can't even say it on the air.
Okay.
And it's in my heart, I can forgive him, but then again, I can't forgive him. I don't know what it is. I think I can, but I know I can't.
Well, how long ago did this happen, Linda?
It happened we were dating for 4 years, but it happened 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
I think it happened in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. My guess is that you don't want to forgive him because somehow you think that's going to benefit him, that you're letting him off the hook.
Yeah.
And that's something we need to clear up, so I'm glad you asked the question. And when we come back from the break, we'll clear up and give you the answer to that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Talking about forgiveness today, and hope that something we say is going to be helpful. You know, when you don't forgive, the person doesn't pay a price for that. You do. Most of us know that. We have to move into forgiveness at some point.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Yeah, we're back right here with Linda, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn, and the ex-boyfriend did a horrible thing, and she would like to kill him, right?
Oh, yes, I would. Okay. If I could say it, I would say it, but it's on. Are we online? I mean, are we in other
on
people
air?
Listening?
Yeah, you're talking yes. to millions of people.
Oh, okay. No, I can't.
Okay.
But it was really bad, and,
oh, it was
and
terrible.
You're stuck in the resentment and humiliation, it sounds like.
Yes.
Okay. Well, here's the thing, Linda. You're forgiving him. Steve alluded to this before the break. You're the beneficiary of the forgiveness, not him. He doesn't even need to know that you forgive. See, there's two different things that we get mixed up. We mix forgiveness up with reconciliation, and we think, you know, that comes out of that Jewish teaching again. And that's what boys and girls are taught in Hebrew school to this day. You know, that's the rabbi's teaching on it. Is that they go together. Well, but what Jesus did was to separate them and to say that I forgive simply because I choose to forgive, and it has nothing to do with you. It doesn't matter whether you know it, whether you receive it, whether you even care about it. It doesn't matter. I forgive to free me. It's a very selfish act, as one of the writers said about it, because I benefit from it. Now, reconciliation, though, takes both people. So if he came to you and was very repentant, very sorrowful, sought to make it up to you and said, you know, I cannot believe what I did. I will do whatever you want me to do to show you how sorry I am. Then your forgiveness of him would be tied to his repentance, and now you could have reconciliation. But you don't want that reconciliation. You don't need that reconciliation. You've moved on. You want to get rid of this burden that you're carrying, this you know, heavy weight that's on your shoulders, that of resentment and revenge and all of those things. See, so when you forgive, what you're doing is saying, you know, he doesn't owe me anything anymore because he's bankrupt. He can't pay it, so I'm canceling the debt. I'm not even going to think about it anymore. And I do that. Why? Because I have done things that God has forgiven me for, and the price that he paid for my forgiveness is beyond anything I can imagine. And out of that gratitude for my forgiveness by God, I am going to forgive this man. Now, 2 years, that's probably long enough. You should be ready to begin that.
I think if he calls me sometimes, mm-hmm. and I talk to him, but I don't know. It seemed like, but sometimes what comes up in my mind is I want to do something to him. But I can still speak to him and talk to him.
Well, see,
like a normal person.
That's part of the process.
What you might want to do, and this is an option after you've done the forgiving work, and we're going to send you the Forgiving the Unforgivable book, and it gives you the process that you go through. What you might want to do after you've done that forgiving, say, you know, that was a horrible thing you did to me, mm-hmm. and I have thought about ways to kill you. That's how hurt I was by it. But I just want letting you know I have forgiven you. I don't want anything to do with you beyond talking every now and then. But, you know,
maybe
I don't
you don't
know,
even
I
want
don't,
that.
I may not even want that. I don't know why you talk to him, because if it was that hurtful. But you might just say that to him. And it doesn't matter how he responds, because once I forgive, I give up my expectations of anything.
Yes, and I think that's a good way to look at it, Linda. It doesn't mean that you have to suddenly have warm fuzzies for this guy. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, he's hurt you, And that's something that you probably will never forget. But it's unhooking yourself from being the one that has to keep him accountable. Okay. That part of that forgiveness, it's like you're handing it back over to God. And you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you enough that I know you're going to take care of this in your timing.
Yeah.
See, and we usually don't trust God. But I always say, look at O.J.
Yeah,
how long did he get away with it for? You know,
it caught up with him.
He's in prison.
That's right.
He's in prison. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the dimensions of the forgiveness definition is deliverance, and you truly are delivering yourself from the back of that person, or delivering yourself from them being on your back. And I think it's important that we look at it from our perspective, not the other person's perspective.
Well, and it breaks that negative attachment that keeps us tied to the person.
Well, there you go.
Here's the analogy. You know, a bank will forgive a loan. They actually use the words forgive. The loan has been forgiven. Now, when they do that, do they? If I'm the one who owes them the money, and they have tried every which way to get it, and they've sued me, and you know, and I don't have anything to give them, so they finally give up and forgive the loan. Now, I can't go in the next day and say, "Hey, thank you for that. Now, could you give me some more money?" Because they'll throw me out on my ears.
Yeah.
They didn't do that for my benefit. In fact, they probably have it all recorded on the credit bureau so that I can't get money from anybody for 7 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
See, why did they do it? I don't understand the accounting principle, but I'm told they do it for their own sake. They do it because it helps them on their books.
Yeah.
And it's a totally selfish act when they forgive. Now, that's the model, then, of what Jesus expects of us when we forgive. It's my benefit. I'm canceling
the debt. Cut your losses.
It's done, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And see, Colossians 2:13 and 14 gives us the best definition biblically of forgive. There's two words that are used. One is to just kind of let it pass, which means that I don't think about it much anymore. But the other one is to cancel a debt. And Paul says, we were once dead in our trespasses and sin, but God made us alive through Christ. And I say, well, how did he do that, Paul? And he says, well, he forgave all your sins. And so I ask Paul again, what did that mean? And then he goes on, he says, he took the certificate of debt that we owed, and he canceled it by nailing it to Christ's cross. That's what forgiveness is canceling a debt.
Hmm. It's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And how wonderful it is for us, but oh, how hard it is for us to give that to somebody else.
That's why it's a process and not just a sudden act. Oftentimes we forgive too early, and then what we do when we forgive too early is we're just excusing the behavior and not protecting ourselves.
Like we quickly,
ourselves.
Without processing,
when
we don't want to feel those negative feelings.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Why it doesn't work.
All right. Sue, I hope that's helpful to you. I'll send you Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable. Dave, in the in your book, People of the Bible Uncensored, do you deal with forgiveness there in any of those characters?
Well, we do with Joseph because, you know, that's the one place in the Old Testament where you get some insight into forgiving another person. And I really think that, I always say Joseph went through an 8 or 10 year treatment program when he was in prison. That was his time for...
Yeah, it wasn't instant, was it?
No, and it was interesting in watching one of the cartoon versions of Joseph's story. It shows him going through a process of anger and sadness, which is the grieving process. And then when his brothers don't understand that he's forgiven them, and so when Dad dies, they say, Dad told us you're supposed to forgive us. And he just kind of, Joseph, a very emotional guy, he breaks down and says, you know, I already did that. And you meant it for evil, but God turned it to good. And that's what God will do when we forgive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. I tell you, maybe there's something, it just doesn't make sense. You've got this deep, bitter feeling inside, and you want to be free from it. Well, maybe this is the beginning where somebody finally helps you understand that forgiveness is not for them, it's for you. Let's go to Sue from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Sue.
Hi there, how are you?
Great. How are you doing today?
I'm doing really good, thanks.
Good. How could we help?
Well, first of all, I appreciate your show and the email that I know to be here. Well, I have a question of forgiving and forgetting.
Okay.
In a marriage situation where, and it's a perpetual thing, it keeps going on and on. And I don't have any ill will or bitterness or, you know, anger left. I just feel sorry for him. Mm-hmm. But do you forget it? I mean, people ask you about it all the time, and what do you say? And
well,
I always
you may be asking the wrong question at the wrong time. You know?
Well, it kind of comes out of one of those things we heard so often as a kid. Well, just forgive and forget, you know. Go on back out and play with the kid. He didn't mean it. You know, just forgive and forget. And it is not human to forgive and forget. We forgive and remember.
God's the only one.
Yeah, now why is it that God forgets what we've done? He buries it in the sea of forgetfulness. You know, why can he do it? Because he doesn't have to learn anything. Because he knows everything, see. So when I forgive someone, I need to learn something. And what you need to learn in forgiving your husband is that, you know, I can't depend on him in this area. And you've got to be careful, because if you just kind of let it all go, you know, and not deal with it, you're just really excusing the behavior, which is an invitation for it to continue. You know, there needs to be some boundary that you can put up that says, I don't want you to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But when I here's what I tell people when they can't forget, is that every time you remember the hurt that was done, then also remember the forgiveness that you've done, the work of forgiving, and then also remember the forgiveness that you've experienced from God through Christ. And put it into that context. So if it's the enemy that's reminding you and kind of trying to pull you down, when you take it back to the cross, he doesn't like that and he gives up on it. So, but always, every time I remember, I want to take it eventually back to the cross.
And I think that's as long as it's something in the past. Sometimes there are things that someone does to us day after day after day.
Then we've got to find a way to protect ourselves from that. That's, and set some boundaries, because otherwise, like I say, all we're doing then is excusing.
It's right, like, right. It's like we have to address the problem.
Yeah, you bump into me as we walk out the door and you say, oh, excuse me, and I say, no problem. You know, you have an affair and you say, oh, excuse me, oh, no problem. You know, that just doesn't...
Right.
It doesn't add up.
Yeah. Not the same. Well, so often the person with that, how do I forget or forgive, is asking that before they ask, what is the best chance? What is the thing that I could do that would make it the most likely that this person never does this again?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the real issue there that we want people to deal with if, you know, that's where they're living.
But the forgiving and forgetting often is, I just want out of my pain.
Yes.
I don't want to feel this anymore, so I'll just move quickly to forgiveness.
Right. All right. Go ahead.
My problem is I don't mind forgiving, and I already did, because, like you said, it's God's grace, and I've been praying over it for 20 years, and it happens every day. It's drugs, alcohol, pornography, strip bars, and of course, you know, you live with that every day, and my kids are sick of it, but I don't know if I'm supposed to stay. Knowing that I forgive him, I don't know if I'm supposed to anything about it.
But Sue, you have to see him as someone who almost is ill, right? And so would you just forgive someone for being ill and do nothing? Or would you would you work towards them getting treatment?
Yes. And, you know, like I said, it's been 20 years. We've been through all that before. I've left him. I've come back when he promised to do better. You know, the psychiatrist, you know, him getting on medicine, you know, just all different kinds of things. And I have just never actually gotten out of the situation, and I don't know. I mean, I forgive him.
No, Sue, you're excusing
him. Yeah.
I think
you feel powerless. So
yeah, you say, oh, you want to go to the strip bar? Oh, excuse me for being upset about that. You know, kind of. That's how I picture what you're doing.
Okay, yeah, he always does it on the slide, but I, of course, find out about it. But and I've gotten to the point where I don't look for it anymore. I don't look for the evidence.
Excusing. That's excusing.
Mm-hmm. So you've just resigned yourself to it.
Yeah. The hardest part is not knowing if God wants me here or not.
Well, I think, okay, if you've been excusing something and then you start asking, should I stay or not, the better question is, what do I need to do instead of excuse this? So that maybe it could change and then I would be here, but there would be something here to be here for. That's where I'd like to see you go.
Sounds good.
Well, let me send you Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable. It's got some great great info there. But when we come back, maybe we can help you figure out some things that you could do that would make a difference. Because there are many people in the same situation that you're in. They don't know what to do. We'll help you. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Okay, so let's just take this example of somebody that's, I mean, she's got, saying, multiple stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do other than just allow it and stop looking for the evidence, as she said? One thing you do is you go to a codependency group yourself. Maybe
right.
That's the first thing that you could do. Have you done anything like that?
I have. Al-Anon.
Okay, are you going to Al-Anon now, or did
regularly?
You give it a try?
I just gave it a try. I was in a different state going with a friend. I was trying to get her to go. And
okay.
And
you're
then I came back
her,
up here, and I couldn't find a local one.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's first thing. Guys, what else could she do?
Well, and Sue, I have a feeling you've tried a lot of things, but then you've not fully followed through. And part of that may be because you really don't want to give up your life. So it's easier to resign to it.
Maybe. I really wanted out of it, made it happen, and then my son got sick. I came back to the situation because of the doctors and everything. But then I've been stuck here ever since.
Okay, mm-hmm. You don't need to be stuck, Sue. You're
right.
Talking about leaving, but before I'd leave, mm-hmm. I would say you need to get to Every Man's Battle. You need to end this cycle. And I will give you 60 days to 30 days to get to every man's battle and 60 days to show me that you really mean it, or I'm done. I'm out of here. And really follow through on it this time, and not, you know, make the threat and then back down because of circumstances.
And for those 60 days, you go to Al-Anon?
Yeah.
Or COSA, which is Codependence of Sex Addicts?
Mm-hmm.
Or you get to or there are Christian
woman,
support
women
groups?
In the battle and those things, yeah.
Okay, what about the fact that he's agnostic and he hates everything I do about religion?
Well, that's really irrelevant.
Right.
You know, every man's battle is not just a, you know, it's not an evangelistic program. It's really a program to help men learn how to relate to other men so that they can
Even
the support.
Non-Christians don't like their husbands cheating on them. Right?
Really good
point. Right.
Not a Christian issue.
No, it's not.
Okay.
So it's not okay. You need to raise your standards here. The cheating thing is unacceptable. He's got a problem. He has a problem with intimacy.
And just walking out without trying these other things, it's just not something that you want to look back and say, wow, look what I did.
Uh-huh. Well, and you know, he has remained a little baby, and aren't you tired of being his mama? So he needs to get off the bottle.
Yeah.
Right?
Great picture.
Yes.
Yeah,
because
he's used all these addictions instead of growing up.
Right. I don't condone it at all, and I tell him I don't like it, and he, you know, spends a lot of our money on it.
Okay, well, we know that.
Mm-hmm. That's typical.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you've shared that. Now what we want to know is what are you willing to do other than let it happen or be frustrated by it?
Or leave.
Well, don't leave without taking a stand, Sue.
Yeah.
Because there are men who turn this around and who make amends, and they don't have to be believers to do it. They do it because it's a healthy, relational, marriage-building thing to do. Don't back down.
Yeah, and I think even to tell him that you see that he is a hurt little boy that is clinging to his bottle. And that you know he's really scared to live any other way. And that probably he thinks he can't, that he's beyond help. But that no one is beyond help.
Right.
And if he's willing to be bold, then you will support him. Right?
And if not, you're done.
You're done.
All right, Sue. Let me send you a copy of Walking Into Walls. I think it's going to help you get out of this rut there. Okay, let's go to Alice, Reading, Pennsylvania. WBYN is the station. Hi, Alice.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I've gotten a lot of good insight from all the different callers that I've been listening to.
Okay.
I guess mine is not that I haven't forgiven and forgot. How do I get it to stop reoccurring in my mind?
Okay.
Before we were married, my husband, he had a dying ex-wife. He went back and had an affair with her. I called him on it because I thought that's what had happened, but he said no. And he found, when I found out, he said, well, because he knew he would have lost me if I would have known. So by accident, I found out years later, but now I have no trust.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the weirdest thing, he doesn't call me at lunch. And I don't trust. I'm wondering, where is he at? What's he doing? Who's he talking to? And so I know this is no good for the marriage either, but I don't know how to get beyond that.
Okay.
And how long has this been going on for? That you've had?
We've been
you've
married
known?
Now. We've been married now for 4.5 years.
Okay, and you've known about this affair for how long?
Well, it was 3.5 years before I found out the truth.
Right.
Because we were only, like...
So for the last year, you've been struggling with this?
No, I've been struggling it for the 4 years.
Okay.
You knew it. He just didn't admit it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and when's the last time you know he was unfaithful to you?
That was way back then. As far as I know, that's the only time he was unfaithful.
And it's 4 years later?
4 years later since I found out.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll help you right after this. You're listening to New Life Live.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, we're talking with Alice, and husband, 4 years ago, she found out about the unfaithfulness, and it's hard to get those images out of her mind. Jill, Dave, what do you think?
Go ahead, Jill.
Well, Alice, yeah. First of all, just on a side note, you know, someone who's divorcing, it's not uncommon for there to be a lot of ambivalence and kind of back and forth in and out of the relationship. And especially since his ex-wife was dying, there may have been, you know, that may have been part of his process of letting go in terms of him sleeping with her. It seems like the part that is most hurtful to you is that he kept it a secret.
Well, I think because I confronted him. I said, is this what happened? And I told him from the very beginning, because I'm from a divorced marriage, not a deceased marriage, but a divorced marriage, and I told him that there's always these feelings, and I tried to talk that out with him. Way, you know, and I said, whenever you feel, or if you feel any feelings, you let me know, go do what you need to do. You know, I tried to be really open and honest and upfront about it.
While you were dating?
While we were dating.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no, no, no. So then when I kind of knew it, but he just kept saying, because he kept acting different towards me. And I kept asking him, no, 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 no. But then now he told me, well, when I found out, he told me that it was because he knew he would have lost me.
Okay.
But now it's 4 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And you're saying you've forgiven him, but I'm really questioning that.
I'm curious, Alice, what has he done to rebuild your trust in these 4 years? Or the year since he admitted it?
Well, I found out 4 years ago, and he couldn't lie about it because it was in writing.
Oh, okay.
She had it right there on black and white. And
so what has he done in those 4 years? What has he done to rebuild your trust?
Well, before we got married, we went through, of course, marriage counseling through our church, and that it all came out then, where he's a very private person, don't tell anybody, don't say anything. But it all came out then, and the pastor even told him, this is a long haul, and you have got to rebuild the confidence in her and the love relationship and all that stuff. But he's not like a really like romantic kind of lovable kind of that kind of person. you know, okay, I love you. I said it once, and why do I have to keep repeating myself?
Okay, Alice, but here's the thing. 4 years later, if you're still suspecting and...
suspicious.
And not moving on, it's kind of like you're, in his mind, the police now, the mother, all of these things that would shut down a romantic coming toward you. And I'm just wondering if, you know, what would happen if you went ahead and finalized forgiving him, letting him go and letting that incident go, moving on with your life to see if that might draw him closer to you.
Really, really, really tried. You don't realize how much I've really tried.
And
I was
Alice,
just praying about this last night.
Alice, your first marriage, how did it end?
Badly.
Okay, was there cheating? Did you trust him?
Somebody told me later that there was. I don't know. It wasn't. He was very kind of verbally and physically abusive.
Okay. Have you struggled with trust issues maybe even before your first marriage?
I've struggled with trust issues all my life.
Okay.
I think we get that from my mother. My mother's always very untrusting because my father left my mother, blah, 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 you know.
Your dad left your mom for another woman?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Alice, might you be playing out this old childhood scenario with your husband now?
But I don't want to.
I understand. But do you see
that
for what that is? That this is like, I'm not going to have happen to me what happened to my mother. And so I'm going to watch his every move to make sure. And it just so happens that he's giving you, you know, an incident to help fuel your fear and suspicion. Right? So that one incident is like, it's like it happened yesterday.
Well, there was another incident about something different.
Okay.
This was... And I don't think, from all I know about him, I can't say he's a sex addict. I'm not sure what the purpose was. He said he wanted to see how easy it was because everybody told us when the children were young, he has two boys that were young when I met him, that they could get on the internet and put in really dumb words and you'll get sexual stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he said this is why he looked at it. But then there was like a continuous thing of looking at it that I found out later, again, hidden, didn't know anything about. If you were looking at it for the boys, you would tell your wife. So I said, I always feel like there's going to be another shoe that drops. Any minute, any time now, I'm going to find out about something new.
Well, you guys are really, really stuck. And if you don't get some marriage counseling.
We just tried that recently, but it seemed like...
But
what did you try? How long
did
you go?
Well, I actually called through New Life, but... the guy that we had, and he probably is a really good counselor, but it seemed like it was all about the money, not about the help. It wasn't like, I want you to work on this, I want you to try doing this while, you know, the week till we meet you again. It's, you know, are you going to pay me, and do you have the money, and where's the pay? And so it came down
to... So you didn't trust the counselor either, to have
I don't trust
motives.
Too many people.
No, that's true. That's true.
Does your husband understand that, Alice? Does he know that that's a big issue for you?
Yeah, but he didn't like the counselor either.
Okay.
He felt the same way.
That's fine, but see, do you see this theme in your life? You always suspect ulterior motives from people, that you can't really take them at their word or at face value, that somehow the other shoe's going to drop for you.
For everybody.
For everybody. Mm-hmm. It's not just your husband. And yes, your husband has some issues. I hear that. But the trust, you know, this part is your part.
So how do you gain trust? What do you do to get this?
Well, you have to be, one, including your husband in this process. And I think, okay, you didn't like that therapist. I think you need to find another therapist that you can at least trust a minimal amount. And you build trust kind of over time as people prove to be trustworthy.
You start to talk
about your lack of trust and how scary it is for you.
You don't allow the next horrible counselor to be an excuse for you to not get help.
Mm-hmm.
You go get help anyway with another person until you finally get it and you're able to trust.
Well, you got to learn how to repair broken trust.
Right.
And this is where your husband needs to be willing to help you. And don't make excuses for him by being quiet and that kind of thing. If I'm your husband, I want to be responsible to do anything I can to help you learn to trust me. You may not trust anybody else, but I would be committed to finding a way to help you learn to trust me, because I wouldn't want to be not trusted in a marriage relationship.
Right.
So he's got to step up to the plate, and the only way he's going to do that probably is you hold him accountable and say, you've got to help me with this. I can't do it by myself. And that means you got to be an open book. You got to be where you say you're going to be. There's no surprises. There's no other shoe that drops. We got to really work on that. And
because he may be very conflict avoidant and plain, so it plays
like
into
it,
this,
yeah.
Right? He doesn't want to upset you, so he doesn't tell you things.
The opposite of her first husband,
right?
Know,
right.
The other's way. You know, why don't we send her that CD on restitution for him?
Okay.
And then whatever you want to send her.
Well, we'll send Forgiving the Unforgivable to her because I really suspect that there's a forgiveness issue here that just hasn't taken place yet.
Mm-hmm. That predates
that goes
him.
Goes back to Dad.
Yeah. And that's the first
Dad.
Thing we need to deal with. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm glad you called. We'll get that to you. Let's go to Beth from La Jolla, California. She listens online. Hello, Beth. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on?
Well, I have struggled with an issue for many years, actually almost 40. I had an abortion as a teenager, and I have been through abortion recovery, and I know that God has forgiven me. I'm comfortable with that, but I still have a hard time forgiving myself.
Yeah.
You got higher standards than God then, huh?
Hey, let me ask you a question. Tell us about the circumstances around the abortion. How did you? Well, how old were you?
I was 16.
And who took you to get the abortion?
My mom. Mm.
And did she take you because you said, "Mom, I'm pregnant. I want to go get an abortion"?
No.
What? Okay. Just hold on. I want you to tell us about that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. I hope that we can be of help to you. You're listening to New Life Live. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the phone number to call if you need help. It's also the number that you can call if you can help us. We sure do need your help. And you can become a part of Club New Life, the foundation of this ministry, Club New Life, where you give a little and it combined, it really changes lives. We'll be back after this.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're talking with Beth. Beth, at 16, tell us what happened. You got pregnant. You told your parents.
I did. And abortion wasn't legal at that time, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so our family doctor was a friend. A friend of the family. We went to see him and confirm that I was pregnant. And there was very little discussion. I mean, it was the first time I had really even heard the word abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of discussion, and it was just kind of decided that this would be the best thing, that the baby would stand in the way of my college plans and other plans for life, and this would be the best solution. So that's the way it was presented to me.
Okay, and so you had the abortion.
Presented it to you as that.
Yes. Now, mm-hmm. that what bothers me, though, because I've given this a lot of thought over the years,
sure.
is that I still had, I mean, I may not have had a voice at that time, but I feel like I could have stood up to them. I could have said, no, this is my baby, I'm having the baby.
Well, you know, here's the thing you haven't thought about.
Mm-hmm.
If you had stood up to them, there might have been a whole other level of reasons why you mm-hmm. must have the abortion. We're not going to support you. We're not going to, you know, all sorts of things that you never dealt with mm-hmm. because you didn't resist. So in your case, 40 years later, I think you're feeling guilty over the fact that you were talked into an abortion at 16.
Well, and I've worked through a lot of this,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what it is. It's the unforgiveness. It's of myself.
Right.
And that's what I'm struggling with, is in the recesses of my mind, that just pops up occasionally, that how
yeah.
could I have done this?
Because
I
you
killed
were 16,
an innocent baby.
Because you were 16, mm-hmm. not only did your mother, who was a parent, want you to do it, but this authority figure, this physician,
mm-hmm.
wanted you to also. That would be pretty rare for someone to not go along with
that. For a scared 16-year-old to resist would have been rare.
So how do I deal with this unforgiveness that I feel of myself?
Well, have you forgiven Mom and the physician and Dad?
Yes.
Okay. You know, the forgiving myself is the hardest thing to do, and I was serious when I said you have higher standards than God.
Mm-hmm. I thought about that on the
break. It doesn't
break.
Fit into yeah. the picture of yourself that
yeah,
you
I,
have.
Yeah, I
so
think.
You have
yeah.
to grieve what was lost in your image of yourself.
Right. And that, I was yeah. about to use the word acceptance, Dave, that
yeah.
she needs to move into acceptance.
Yeah.
And she does that
by
exactly
grieving.
What Dave just said.
Yeah.
And to kind of accept those evil parts that mm-hmm. we all have, that we're all
yeah,
capable of murder.
Because
we all are.
But also, you've got to forgive yourself for letting yourself get pregnant and mm-hmm. the everything around that. You know, the other thing that I found, Beth, when I've worked with women who have that same struggle, I said, why don't you volunteer at the Crisis Pregnancy Center and do some counseling of some of the young girls that come in? And when the woman has done that, I see them a couple years later, and it's like, wow, you know, the freedom I've received because I've given back.
It's
I've
like
made
a restitution.
Restitution.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've saved a baby. I couldn't do that with my own because I was too young, but I've helped another couple other girls. And not that that becomes your life ambition, but to do it for 6 months. And you've already done the workshop, so you have the tools. And I would just say, you know, I'd like to be able to talk to some of the girls who are wavering and tell them my story.
Beth?
That is a great
mm-hmm.
idea. It's
yeah.
something I've thought about, but I just didn't want to be a hypocrite.
Well, that's what we call allowing God to redeem the thing that we feel, what we feel bad about. Did you know that I paid for an abortion when I was in college?
Yes, I've heard your testimony, and that's one of the reasons I called the show. I feel that we have that connection.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say that I did go to the New Life Weekend, and I was in the post-abortive support or the small group, breakout group, and that was a wonderful time of healing. I couldn't imagine that so much could transpire in such a short amount of time, but it did, and I'm so thankful for that.
You weren't alone in the process, were you?
Pardon me?
You weren't alone in the process.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But it doesn't sound like that anything since has happened to reinforce, you know, what happened there, that you're still, you got back home and... Cool.
Right, I'm still stuck
again.
A little bit in the unforgiveness.
Right.
Just of myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I never look at other women that have had abortions and feel that way. I have nothing but compassion for them. But for myself, I just struggle with that. And I really like your idea of volunteering at a crisis pregnancy center.
You will save a couple of babies. And then it will
mean will be something. Embracing that part of you that you want to reject.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's a bigger issue of wanting to reject those bad parts of yourself.
Beth, you are forgiven, you know.
Yes, I do know that.
You are forgiven. Now you need to accept yourself as a flawed, forgiven person. Because God's got a lot of things he'd like to do with you.
And then make some restitution. You know, there's a fascinating book out, you know, Heaven is for Real.
Oh,
and it wasn't an abortion. It was a spontaneous miscarriage. But the little boy who was in heaven met his sister and didn't know that his mom had a miscarriage, and came home and told, when he came back to life and then came home from the surgery, told his mom that he had met this little girl who said she was his sister. And it was like the first time that he knew that anything like that was happening. So that little baby is alive and well in God's arms.
And you'll meet it.
You'll meet her.
That's right. All right. Well, I'm really glad that you called. I'll send you Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable, and appreciate everybody that's talked with us about forgiveness. It is a process, and sometimes we think we're hung up on forgiveness when in reality we're hung up on lack of acceptance of the reality of ourselves because we haven't, as Dave was saying, we haven't grieved the loss of the idealized self or the self that we wish had been that 16-year-old that stood up or whatever. I'll tell you, there's so many people suffering from abortion guilt when in reality they, at a young age, were overpowered by authority and by parenting. And
She didn't really have a voice then.
Right.
And that was no fault of her own. That
and there are others. There are others that were more my age when it happened, and you absolutely are responsible for it, and you just can't allow yourself God's forgiveness, and you must, because God's got a lot of stuff that he wants to do with you, and I know that he can redeem that horrible, terrible thing, and as Dave has reminded us, in heaven, there's a baby there, and you'll get to meet that baby one of these days. That's what I believe. So glad that you've listened to us. We've got so many things that we want you to come and join us for. One coming up is Lose It for Life. How many people eat because they feel guilt and shame and don't know what to do with it? Well, the it is the thing we need to lose. And at Lose It for Life, you can lose that horrible, guilty feeling that leads you to want to fill up with food, comfort yourself with food, change your mood with food. That's what we do at Lose It for Life. Come and join us. It is life-changing. We just the other day we were talking to somebody that lost 140 pounds in 9 months and just a totally different person. And we want that for you. Every Man's Battle is coming up. You can find out about that. And I just hope and pray that something we've said has meant something to you today. God has forgiven you if you've asked him to forgive you. He wants you to live in that forgiveness. Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Jill. Thanks to all of you. We will we'll see you next time here on New Life Live. See you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry.
To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.